From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this hour. I'll give you the numbers in just a moment. Next hour, were human beings created as a slave race? Professor Jack Barringer talks with us about his theories of the Anunnaki. I'm looking forward to this program a little bit later on this hour. I'll tell you my July 4th weekend barbecue story over at the kids. I'm sure you're all waiting for that one. Well, as the Salmonella outbreak spreads across the United States, the Food and Drug Administration is now looking at produce. As we reported last week, they are now looking at jalapeno peppers and cilantro as possible culprits. Close to 1,000 people now in 40 states have been sickened by the Salmonella bacteria. So far, health officials are desperate to find the source. They just really don't know yet. The Chicago Department of Health has identified several cases of Salmonella poisoning from people who ate at Mexican restaurants, leading them to widen the investigation to ingredients often found in salsa and guacamole. Officials have turned their focus to the critical points of the food chain. Imported produce is now being tested at border entry points and will not be distributed to consumers without FDA approval. Now they say eating high levels of some soy products, including tofu, may raise the risk of memory loss, according to researchers. The study focused on 719 elderly Indonesians living in urban and rural regions of Java. The researchers found high tofu consumption, at least once a day, was associated with worse memory, particularly among the over 68 crowd. In Hawaii, more lava than usual is erupting from Hawaii's Kilauea volcano in the ocean. The Hawaiian Volcano Observatory said the lava is flowing from an outbreak that started November 21st as a continuation of the volcano's, get this, 25-year eruption. The volcanic gas, known as VOG, is being blown to the southwest. Health officials are saying that the VOG may agitate people with existing respiratory conditions. We've got Robert R.B. Trumbly, Dr. Ph.D., is the founder and principal research volcanologist of SWVRC. He's an award-winning scientist and has traveled all over the world working on volcanoes. Robert, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Hi, George. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. I can't believe that this volcano has been going on now for 25 years.
It's been erupting in this episode since 1985.
Is there any danger of it erupting into a huge explosion?
No. Kilauea is what we call, the classify as a shield volcano. And the quick answer for that is the reason they call it that is because if you look at it from the side, it looks like one of these gladiator shields.
Right.
Anyway, the lava flow is very effusive. It's very liquidy, if you will, and does not erupt violently in the normal sense of the word. For example, it will not erupt as Mount St. Helens did, for example, in 1980.
And now, can you promise that?
Yes.
Okay. Has it ever had a massive eruption before in the past?
Not, you mean a very violent one?
Yeah, I mean going way back. Evidence of that?
No. The biggest, we have a scale which we call a VEI, which means Volcano Explosive Index. It goes from zero being the lowest to an eight, which is the highest. And most of the Kilauea eruptions are 1 and 2. Each notch up on the scale is 10 times more output than the other. It's called logarithmic mathematically.
Now, this volcano, though, RB, is adding to the landmass out there now, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
I mean, so if it continues for another 25 years,
yeah,
how much more how much more land is Hawaii going to get?
Oh, the buildup right now is mainly at the Lohi Seamount. Remember, that was that one of your show. We were going to sell property.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, but every time it adds a little tiny bit each day as the lava keeps going into the ocean and stuff. So, you know, I don't know how much land it adds per year, but you know, over a period of time, it will grow. Yes, a little bit.
Will it ever stop?
No, probably not, because what will happen is that new islands eventually will be created. Now, I'm talking about like hundreds of thousands of years from now. The current buildup is called the Lohi Seamount. It has not broken the surface yet, probably won't for another 1,000 or 2,000 years. But once that happens, then literally a new island will be born. As the tectonic plate moves, the island chain will expand.
Okay, and while I've got you, any other problem spots on this planet?
No, we've got 22 eruptions in progress right now around the world. We've had a total of 49 eruptions globally this year since the first of the year. So we're basically doing very well average-wise. We average 40 to 60 eruptions a year, so we're pretty much in the ballpark so far, but nothing major calamities at the moment.
All right, RB, thanks for giving us the information. And
you're most welcome.
Good 4th of July to you and your family for the rest of what's left of the weekend, which is now almost over in most time periods. Well, a group of scientists joined by a member of Congress have used the 100th anniversary of the Tunguska asteroid event, and now they say asteroid event, even though it's not proven what happened, this week to draw attention to their belief that the United States is not doing enough to defend the planet against the dangers posed by near-Earth objects. Now, if an asteroid the size of the one that some believe to have exploded in the air above Tunguska in Siberia were to explode, they say, over Los Angeles, the destruction would range over an area from Catalina Island to San Bernardino. That's a lot of landmass. Although no one is positive what caused the Tunguska event, which flattened trees over an 800-square-mile area on June 30th of 1908. Most scientists believe an asteroid about 150 feet across exploded above the remote river valley in eastern Russia. In the Midwest, first came the floods and now the mosquitoes. And believe me, back here in St. Louis, I can testify to this. An explosion of mosquitoes pestering cleanup crews and just about anyone venturing outside in the waterlogged Midwest. In some parts of Iowa, there are 20 times the normal number. And in Chicago, up to 5 times more than usual. The good news is these are more floodwater mosquitoes, not the kind that usually carry West Nile virus and other diseases, but a very hungry group and sometimes attack in swarms with a stinging bite. In Iowa, a 4th of July fireworks shell misfired in a northern Iowa town, sending a fireball skidding down a street into a crowd of spectators and injuring 37 people. When we open up the lines for open lines this hour in just a moment, if any of you have any of these firework stories that you want to share with us over the weekend, call us. Most of the people treated after the accident suffered minor injuries. It appears there was a misfire involving 13 racks of firework tubes during the finale of the city-sponsored show. Hundreds of endangered African monkeys are being taken from their natural habitat and sold for scientific experiments, as well to a secretive biological lab where, in Iran, in an undercover investigation by the Times of London, an animal trader said he sells some 4,000 monkeys a year to laboratories all around the world for about $100 each. The monkeys, although protected under the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, are likely to undergo sometimes painful experiments, ultimately leading to their death. In Berlin, a man tore the head from a controversial waxwork figure of Adolf Hitler on the opening day of Berlin's Madame Tussauds Museum. Just minutes after the museum opened, the 41-year-old German man pushed aside two security men guarding the figure before ripping off the head of Hitler in protest at the exhibit. Police were alerted. The man was arrested. A 3-foot-tall tablet with 87 lines of Hebrew that scholars believe dates from the decades just before the birth of Jesus is causing quite a stir in biblical and archaeological circles, especially because it may speak of a Messiah who will rise from the dead after 3 days. Now, they say if such a description is really there, it will contribute to a developing reevaluation of both popular and scholarly views of Jesus, since it suggests that the story of his death and resurrection was not unique, but part of a recognized Jewish tradition at the same time. The tablet, probably found near the Dead Sea in Jordan, according to some scholars who have studied it, is a rare example of a stone with ink writings from an era that they believe was around the same period of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And they call this one a Dead Sea Scroll on a stone. Well, using his trusty BB gun to help him return to Earth, a 48-year-old gas station owner flew a lawn chair rigged with helium-filled balloons more than 200 miles across the Oregon desert, landing in a field in Idaho. Kent Couch created a sensation in the tiny farming community of Cambridge, Idaho, where he touched down safely in a pasture and was soon greeted by dozens of people who gave him drinks of water. Couch covered about 235 miles in about 9 hours after lifting off at dawn from his gas station, riding in a green lawn chair rigged with an array of more than 150 giant party balloons. You can take a look at his apparatus at coasttocoastam.com under Hot Stories. And in Greenville, Wisconsin, a 91-year-old woman who had crawled under her car to look for her keys ended up stuck beneath an axle for 2 days until her mail carrier noticed letters piling up. Betty Borowski was found and remained now in a hospital in critical intensive care. Borowski's mail carrier noticed that the previous day's mail was still in her mailbox. He rang the doorbell, then he asked a neighbor whether he had seen Borowski lately. He hadn't, so they called police. Firefighters lifted the car with a jack and removed Borowski, who was dehydrated and very, very confused. Went to a barbecue today over at my son's place. All my other two daughters were there and all their little kids. And everybody was having a great time, and I had a chance to see little baby Gavin, who was born in November, my grandson. Cute as a button, he's starting to crawl. And, everybody's sitting down eating their barbecue, and everybody helped themselves to their salad. And so I went and picked up my bowl, filled it up, and I'm sitting down having my little salad. All of a sudden, my daughter Wendy said, "Where's Gavin's food bowl?" Now, I thought the salad tasted a little strange, but I didn't say anything. And everyone's looking around, and nobody seemed to find it, except Wendy looks at me and she says, "Dad, you've got the food bowl." Somehow, I had mixed my salad in with the little kid's crushed blueberries and SpaghettiOs. That's not the kind of salad you want to eat on a 4th of July. Anyways, we've got open lines for you. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. The wild card line is 818-501-4109. And here's the international line, 800-893-0903. We've got open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. And welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Hope you're wrapping up your 4th of July weekend and everything went very well for you. And hope that there were no tragedies, no mishaps in your house with the fireworks. Always got to be careful. Let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hello there.
Hello, George. Shalom. This is Keith in Skagway, Alaska.
Hey, Keith. How you doing up there?
Doing good. Doing well. I'm glad to hear your 4th was a safe one.
Yes. All well.
And my prayers go out to all those who were injured in that tragedy happened. That was bad. We hope things like that don't happen, and we pray they don't, but they do happen.
They do happen, and they always will, won't they?
Yes. George, I'd like to go back to our conversation on the end times.
Yeah.
Okay. It describes in the gospel we're going through changes in our earth. The earth is going through birthing pains. These are the earthquakes and volcanoes and things that are happening, right?
Well, see, I've always believed the earth's alive, much like you do.
Right.
And it's going through either a cleansing or it's fixing itself, or like you say, something's wrong and it's fighting back.
Right. Well, the creator of our planet, here's a question for you. The creator of our planet, if it is Jesus or Jehovah, how would he want us to treat our fellow human beings in these times, because things are getting worse and worse and worse. Men have to stay stronger to the gospel and to the word.
Yeah,
well,
you know the answer to that. There's supposed to be caring on this planet, and there's not enough, not yet, but it's growing. I can feel it. Let's go next. Let's go to our next wild card line. Keith, thanks for your call. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
What's up?
Oh, not much. Glad to hear you had a good Fourth. I had some little ones. I've never actually mistaken the baby food yet. I'm sure that had to be pretty interesting. But
it was. Anyway. Oh, and they roared. I mean, they were laughing so hard, tears were coming down their eyes.
That'll be one for the ages. You know, the kids will be talking about that one forever. I'm sure.
When Dad's long gone, they'll talk about that one.
That's good. Those are great memories. I was just going to mention the Tunguska, whatever.
Tunguska,
I've heard about that before. Yeah, you know, and I've. I don't know when I heard about that the first time, but, you know, I've always thought, and I think I've heard it on your show before, about, you know, the possibility of it now happening being mistaken for an attack, you know, like either a surprise nuclear or a terrorist attack or whatever.
And that's true. Response, that's a good point.
The response from that alone, you know, unless they knew for sure, but immediately, you know, 48 hours, 72 hours, whatever, you know, that would be very interesting to – I mean, it would be horrible to see the response, but I mean, it would be very interesting to see the outcome if something like that were to happen now.
Well, that's true, and I would guess that one of two possible scenarios would be thought of immediately, and that would be an asteroid that exploded. And then I think, though, with everything always kind of tense now on this planet, people would first think that there was some kind of nuclear explosion that occurred first. And what's so fascinating about the 1908 Tunguska blast, they still really don't know what happened. With all the scientific knowledge and all the instruments they've got and all the testing they've done, they still have no idea what happened. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Oh, Houston, Texas.
Well, welcome to the show. What's going on?
It's great to hear your voice. Thank you. I was just wondering, you know, with the protective layers around our Earth and everything, and
like the ozone layer,
and the ionosphere, and all the layers, that with our shuttles going up and into space, the meteors hitting, that you know, is it possible that those layers cannot really repair themselves? That maybe we're getting to that heating up process of the Earth because it's just like Swiss cheese holes in our atmosphere?
Well, no, this is a big planet, and it does, in many cases, repair itself if you leave it alone. I think what's happening is that the sun is starting to heat up. The sun is starting to act very strangely. You know, they're expecting sunspots. They're overdue. They're not happening. They can't figure out why. I get a little worried when scientists can't figure out why. West of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hello, George.
Hi.
This is Jim over in Hawaii.
Hey, Jim.
And
how close are you to Kilauea?
Well, I was just going to get to that.
All right.
If we went in a straight line, it'd be about 7 or 8 miles.
That's not too far away, Jim.
It's going on the other side of the rift zone. And into the ocean, and it's not coming this way.
Well, that's good because
but what we do if the wind's coming from the southeast, then the bog stays over here. If we have our regular, normal trade winds, then it blows to Kona. But since '84, it's been pumping out 500,000 barrels of lava a day.
God. Now, if you had your car outside, would you have any ash on it at all because of this?
Well,
most
of that is blown to the other side of the island.
All right, but somebody's getting it somewhere, right?
Yeah, and we've had it here before.
And do you sometimes smell that sulfur smell?
Some days you do, some days you don't, but it's always in the air.
But you're not worried about it, are you?
No. It's just kind of part of everyday life. I went back to see my folks here 3 summers ago. And my lungs cleared up in 2 days. So, but they tell people that have lung problems not to do any outdoor physical activities.
No, well, that's true. You got to be very, very careful. Hey, open lines continue this hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. We'll be right back. Well, next hour, Jack Barringer joins us as we talk about his belief that the Anunnaki created mankind to be slaves. I don't know how many of you have smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors around your house. I've got them all over the place. I mean, all over the place. You're supposed to change the batteries at the first of the year every year. Well, I don't. I don't do that. What I do is I'll go around and push a little button and check it to see if it still works. And then every once in a while, when it starts to beep, when it tells you it's got a low battery, then I'll walk around and replace it. But I've got to tell you, when you have so many of them around the house, do you know how difficult it is to find the one that is beeping? Because you think you're at the right spot, and then you hear it someplace else, and you go over there, and then you hear it someplace else. One of the strangest things I've ever done, those of you who have changed batteries in these detectors, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We'll be back. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. And here we go for the ride of your life. Let's go to our wild card line. Thanks for holding. You're up with us.
Hello, George. This is Pete from Cleveland.
Hey, Pete.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Okay, I got a story for you. Last year, one day I was heading to the racetrack at night, and I was going through an intersection where they had construction. I had the green light to go, and a guy blows the red light coming from my left. I see him coming, and I turn my head and go, oh, God. And I look back, and there it is. I see his taillights going right across my windshield in front of me, like he went right through me.
Oh, my God. Somebody saved you.
My mother was in the nursing home dying at the time, and I was visiting her that night, and I said, hey, I'm going to go to the track. So I stopped, and I looked, and the car that went through, he stopped. He's looking. He hit a barrel, and so I just waved to him. I kept going. Two deer come out in front of me. I almost hit them. And I'm thinking, maybe I ought to go home. So I get to the track, lose my rear end. So.
Yep. Say somebody
took the message.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it couldn't have been any more obvious for you.
But what a feeling that was as that happened.
And the other guy, it was probably shaking his head too.
Exactly. He's looking. He's going, what the heck? And and I said, oh boy, this is it.
Watch those. You got to watch those signs, Pete. They're there for a reason. Let's go to our next caller, first-time caller line. Where are you? Hi there.
Hello?
Hey, it's your turn.
Oh, hey, George. It's Andy from Fort Wayne.
Good to hey, Andy.
Nice to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
I had a question for you. I kind of wanted to get your opinion on something.
Okay, I'll do the best I can for you.
I had heard that Nostradamus had once predicted that the next Antichrist would be a guy named Mabus.
Yes.
A-B-U-S. Well, I had heard recently that Barack Obama had hired a guy to be his Middle East advisor, and his name is Ray Mabus. Did you hear anything about that?
No, that'd be easy to find out, though.
Yeah, apparently he used to be the governor of, I think it was Mississippi, and he was also like the ambassador to Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
But apparently Obama just hired him to be his Middle East advisor. And when I heard that, I kind of freaked out because I'm thinking, well, Mabus, that's the name of the next Antichrist.
That is bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, so it kind of freaked me out a little.
And you find out that he was probably born on June 6, 1966 or something.
I'm not sure the exact date of his birth. Yeah, but and not only that, but I know also a few years ago, I think it was about 5 years ago, like around 2002 or 2003, that a psychic that was on your show that had predicted that the next Antichrist would come from the state of Illinois and would be the next president. And when I heard that Barack Obama was running for president and that he would be the next, would supposedly be the next president, that he was from the state of Illinois, it kind of freaked me out. I was thinking, well, gosh, I wonder if that's the guy that psychic was referring to.
Obama. That is strange. And you do know that whoever the Antichrist is or will be, and they say he's been born, maybe she, that they don't know they're the Antichrist yet because that change hasn't occurred. They're supposed to be possessed by, you know, by Lucifer, by the devil. So they don't know. I mean, right now they're as normal as both of us. East of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, this is Russ from Ohio.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I've been a long-time listener, even back when Art Bell was, you know, was back there. And the other night I heard you had Stan Dio on, and I tried and tried to get through it.
Yeah.
I want to know, is he the same one that wrote The Cosmic Conspiracy?
Yeah, it's him.
Yeah, have you ever had him on to talk about that?
Oh, yeah, Stan's been on a zillion times.
Oh, really? Yeah. I just happened to hear it the other night, you know, and the bell went off in my head, you know. I said, "Oh man, that's the Cosmic Conspiracy guy," you know. I really wanted to talk to him, but what do you think about it? What do you think about the information he's got? You think it's pretty good?
I like Stan Dale. I think he is a down to earth straight shooter. Some of his theories are out there, but he's a straight shooter, and I've seen most of his things happen. Most of his predictions of earthquakes have been uncanny. Now, like he said, he's not getting the kind of data that he used to get because it's just not available to him anymore. But he's very, very astute at what he does, and he's got great credentials. I think he's the real deal.
Because, you know, I've read The Cosmic Conspiracy, and I got it back. It's been several years ago. It's a 79 revised edition. But, I mean, it's got a lot of stuff things about the Illuminati and that, which I knew about, but I didn't know the depth of just how far it went. And he really comes out and brings it right out there, especially about the thing concerning our great seal.
Yeah.
That was really an eye-opener.
Let me ask you, what do you think is happening right now around the planet? It is weird, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I think we're basically that the Bible talks that we're in the last times because of all the different things that happened. If you go back in the Old Testament to the Book of Daniel, he told him to seal it up until the last days, to where knowledge would be increased in travel. And until the 20th century, most ministers didn't even understand the Book of Daniel because a lot of the things that Daniel saw hadn't even been invented yet. And so we're living and watching these things come to pass, which maybe, say, 30 years ago was prophecy, which now is things that are happening right in front of our eyes. You know, and then I think we're close to the end. And there's so many things. Well, like in the 20th century, we've had more earthquakes in the 20th century than since the beginning of recorded history. And
does it scare you that we could be right in end times now?
No, because it doesn't scare me because I'm a Christian. Matter of fact, I'm a preacher, and I'm not scared. I look at it in a way. That I'm concerned about the people, you know, that don't realize what's happening. I mean, if you look and you see all the things that's happened right here in the United States, and you take the all the wildfires and all the different things, I mean, it's like God's trying to give us a wake-up call, but it just seems like we've just been chloroformed to sleep, and we just say, oh, well, these things always happen. But look at all the people that's been murdered and things in these schools and that. This stuff didn't happen until, you know, just in these last few years. And that's the kind of days that Jesus said it was going to be, and the kind of days that Paul told Timothy that would be perilous times.
Yeah, but we've had these. I don't know. I maybe we didn't have the kind of school shootings that we have today then, but. You know, we had World War One.
Oh yeah,
World War II. They had hatred and
right.
strife and things way gone back. I just happen to think this planet is a planet of killers overall. I mean, they've not stopped since beginning of man.
We haven't learned. You know, like you say, you know, we haven't learned from history. We turn around and repeat. I'm sure that you know the old cliche about, you know, we turn right around and repeat what we've seen happen, and we say, well, you know, we won't do these kind of things. We won't be this way, and yet we turn around and do the very same things, if not worse.
I'm looking forward to talking to our guest next hour because I want to know what happened to mankind a long time ago. Why did we end up the way we are?
Well, from everything that I know, if you look at it from a biblical standpoint, was because that Adam and Eve disobeyed God when he gave them the...
But why some? You don't hate. I can tell with your voice. You're a nice guy. You're a good person.
I don't.
My producer, Tom, I know him like a brother. He doesn't hate. Right. Why are some people nice and other people aren't?
I think it's got to do with their body chemistry too. You know, like you talk about people with chemical imbalances and things like that. There's some people that are, you know, like you said, they're just meat.
Well, they do. Well, we'll find out a lot in just a few minutes. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. Thomas in Southern California on Streamlink.
Hello, Thomas. What's new?
Hey, I'd like to talk about the actual astronomy of 2012.
Go for it.
Hey, it's mainstream astronomy. It's not doom and gloom. We're not going to fall into a black hole. But it's a beautiful metaphor for those beautiful stories that the Mayans come up with.
2012 plops in December 21st. Anything going to happen?
Yes. Actually, the sun is going to cross over the plane of the galaxy. And during the day, from the Yucatan Peninsula, from sunrise to sunset, you're going to look like a normal sun traveling across the sky, just like you see every day.
Okay.
But while that's happening, plane of the galaxy is going to act. Should I talk about what that is? You know how the galaxy is?
Yeah. Give
the
everybody
galaxy
a
is
click.
Like a big giant pancake, you know, with a big bulge in the middle.
Yep.
But if you look at it on the edge, it looks like the edge of a piece of paper. So it's like a line.
Okay.
And that's the way we see it from Earth, because we're in the Milky Way galaxy. We're in the pancake. And so when we look towards that middle, we're looking right down that edge. That makes sense?
All right, well, this celestial event, and I've always said it's going to be a celestial event.
Oh,
I
yes,
just don't
absolutely.
Know what it is. What's its purpose? What will it do?
Well, from a purely scientific point of view, it won't really do anything, but it'll exhibit. You won't be able to see the plane of the galaxy because the sun is so bright. It is the Milky Way, and when the sun is right there, the sun is so bright it overpowers the light of the Milky Way. But the plane is still there, and at sunrise, the plane is right underneath the sphere of the sun. So as the sun comes above the ground of the Earth, the Milky Way galaxy, the plane, is right underneath it. And then as the day unfolds, like during the next 6 hours, that plane moves up and up and up and is right through the middle of the sun in the middle of the day. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I still think the Mayans knew something bigger was
going on. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what's interesting. Is later when it sets, it's completely on the other side of the plane of the Milky Way. So what's happened is the sun has gone from, in their perspective, in their metaphor, from one world into another world. Now, this is happening on, as you know, the winter solstice.
Yep.
And this event, as unfolding on that day, only happens once every 26,000 years.
Well, how do they know about this then, Thomas?
How they know is through Thoth, who is an Egyptian, who's an Anunnaki, and this is all discussed by Zachariah Sitchin in his book, The Lost Realms. And you should talk to your next guest if he knows more about that. I don't know that much more about that. But I do have, and it's too much for open lines, I do have a three-dimensional model that's real simple. You make it out of a piece of paper and a pencil, and the tip of the pencil is the axis of the Earth, going in a circle of precession, which is 26,000 years.
Send a picture of this with a little explanation to Lex and let him take a look at it, and maybe he'll post it on the Coast to Coast AM.com website, because I make those calls on some things, but I want Lex to determine the pictures and things that that go on. So do that, Thomas. Thanks. Couple more minutes to go. Wild Card Line, it is your turn. Hi there.
Hi. I'm sorry, George. This is Scott in Columbus, Ohio.
That's okay, Scott. What's going on?
Hey, I was curious about, I caught a show a while back on a T-Rex.
Oh, the...
I haven't heard another word about it.
You mean the little Tyrannosaurus Rex that they found on April 1st?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they did. They found that on April 1st. Little baby. It had eaten someone.
No.
On April 1st, they found it.
I couldn't resist. I thought I'd get you to laugh anyway.
I always laugh.
Hey, I have another question, too. I can't remember the guest's name, but he wrote had a book called Do You See What I See? And I wasn't able to get back to the computer to find out. And he did ESP research with the CIA. Do you remember that guest name?
Oh, no, we've got a couple people who have done that, but now I have to go back and think. I'll get it for you, and we'll get it out there for you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good morning.
Okay. You got it. Take care of that for me, Tom, and send me the answer post-haste before we're off this hour. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Chris calling from Denver. Fascinating story. I've been listening to you for about, 4 years. And I know you know the infamous caller, JC. So as I was walking in downtown Denver yesterday, I'm originally from Portland, but I was walking around downtown near the Capitol. And as I'm walking down the street, I hear a very, very familiar voice. And I couldn't really make out at first who it might be. And then when I looked at him and listened a little more, I thought, that has to be JC. And
no.
I know I got a JC sighting for you, George.
Did you confront him?
No, I actually stayed a pretty good distance from him. I was kind of in a hurry, kind of late to meeting a friend somewhere, but I really didn't listen to his dialogue. Something along the lines of, like, fuel prices and hell and all this. And it looked to be that he had about 12 or 13 people kind of around him, like as if he had a following or something like that, and he was dressed all in black. But it didn't appear to me as if he had kind of like a minister's sort of collar, but he was dressed in all black and looked to be about 48 years old, kind of like a white Caucasian male, just kind of clean shaven. But as I just kept listening, I thought that has to be JC, so I had to tell you.
Well, it could be.
I know.
Okay.
I don't know.
You got to capture them. You got to capture them and tell them. Craig in San Jose, you're up with us. Hey there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
It's great to talk to you, George. You're a great man.
Well, thank you.
George, I was just calling to say, to reiterate what that preacher was talking about. We never in the history of mankind have we ever been in such turmoil throughout the world.
It would seem that way. You're right.
I will tell you, 25 years ago, George, I read what's happening today, and that was by the author called Des Griffin. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
How did he know?
He wrote that in his books that this is what we were coming into, the cashless society. This was going to be happening. The oil prices, everything. And I ask you, if you can, to get one of your men to research it, because if he's still alive, get him on.
He's got to be up there in age, but maybe he is still out there.
He's phenomenal, George. He lined it. I mean, when you're reading stuff like that 25 years ago, George, that you're going into a cashless society, everything's going to be credit cards. You're not going to buy and sell without special numbers, just like ancient Rome was.
Yep.
And he says, we are following the same footsteps. And all these people that are tied into the Masons, George, you can research it and you know it yourself, that they are the controlling factors. And we're in big trouble.
All right. Well, thanks. And by the way, Russell Targ is the name that you wanted that was involved with the CIA's program I did a couple months ago, I believe. So you must have heard a refeed somewhere. But that's the guy, Russell Targ, T-A-R-G. You can get information on him by going to the search engine at coasttocoastam.com. I'll be back in a moment with our special guest, Jack Barringer, right here on Coast to Coast AM.